Hello, listeners and fellow explorers. This is Living in the Sprawls, lovely and talented producer slash fiance, Lisa Lowe. I wanted to thank all of you for your constant support of the show. As a new podcast on the scene, the number one way to support the show is to rate, review, and share this podcast with everyone you know. Many of you have been doing this, and it has helped immensely. You can also check out our website and the show notes for other ways to support the show. We have new merch on our website, and we are working with companies that we currently use ourselves to get discount codes for our listeners and support the research and work we do for the show in the process. These companies include Every Table Meal Delivery Service, which offers delicious, cost-effective meals delivered straight to your door. Just CBD Store, which offers great-tasting CBD-only gummies in a variety of flavors, and Miss to Mrs. Boxes for brides-to-be. My sister Jennifer surprised me with this box when I got engaged, and it was the most perfect, thoughtful gift. You can also support us on Patreon and PodFan. Please check out the website at livinginthesprawlpodcast.com for updates on companies we are working with, our testimonies, links, codes, and new Living in the Sprawl merchandise. Again, thank you to all of you, our lovely listeners, for tuning in every week and allowing us to do what we love. Without further ado, your humble correspondent, John Steinberg.
Hello, and welcome to another installment of Living in the Sprawl, Southern California's most adventurous podcast. I am, as always, your humble correspondent and host in residency. My name is John Steinberg. Joined alongside me, as always, is my lovely and enormously talented producer slash fiance. Her name is Lisa Lowe, and she is manning the boards for this broadcast. So, on our 29th episode here, folks, we are really getting up there, and I am mighty proud about it. We're going to talk about independent bookstores. This hasn't been mentioned thus far on Living in the Sprawl, so I'll take the opportunity to discuss it briefly for a moment here. I have a couple of degrees, and they're all in creative writing. I know, super practical, very pragmatic decision that I made to arm myself with all of this totally translatable knowledge on literature and how best to interpret, analyze it, and replicate it. I don't really like shopping on Amazon. The convenience, sure. I use it because, well, life is a matter of hours, if you look at it in a certain way. But I never feel great about it. So when it comes to establishments like bookstores, I have kind of strong opinions. I'm someone that grew up with a father that insisted on weekly trips to Barnes & Noble. And these weren't trips where you'd kind of stroll through the fiction, nonfiction, young adult sections, what have you, waiting for your dad to pick out something so you guys could leave and go to the food court or go to the movies or something like that. These would be kind of marathon sessions where my father would pick. We would walk out of there with between 6 and 12 books almost every time. And so I started amassing a collection myself. We also had this ridiculous library in our living room where bookshelves seemed like they were piled up to the ceiling. And I remember thinking, and I was about 5 at the time, thinking, wow, I wonder how long it would take to read all those books. So I set about trying to do something like that myself. I've made a lot of lists. Your Modern Library's list of 100 greatest novels, Times list of 100 greatest. There's like 5 or 6 of them that I have cross-referenced and utilized over the past 15 years. In short, books and the written word are incredibly important to me. And this is where independent bookstores come into play. Now, if we were a Northern California-based podcast, I think the list that we'd be able to compile might be a bit more impressive than the one that you're about to hear from an objective standpoint. San Francisco is, of course, home to places like City Lights, Berkeley's got Moe's. There's a lot of great outlets for purchasing independent books in the Bay Area. But fear not, dear listener, we have for you a collection of 10 wonderful options to delve into when thinking about making that next book purchase, as opposed to the one-click Amazon.com pathway. So let's begin our investigation at number 10. And we go to Santa Monica, the West Side, kind of the unwritten capital of the West Side, in my own estimation, where we stop for a coffee, a chat, and a healthy browse at Book Monster. Now, the reason this isn't higher on the list is because it is alarmingly close to the 3rd Street Promenade, and unless you are from another country, that's not a place where you want to be spending a great deal of time. But I would urge listeners to brave the crowds or travel during non-peak hours to this gem of an independent bookstore in the capital of Los Angeles's West Side. Now, in addition to a great, robust selection of everything that you could imagine in terms of literature, Book Monster has a number of pretty fun, whether you want to call them swag or, let's go ahead, merch. Okay, they have a lot of interesting merch. Alice in Wonderland inspired book covers, pencils, pens. If I were in like 5th or 6th grade, I would have a lot of fun with, some of the merchandise up for sale at Book Monster. This is the type of place where you can walk in, come out armed with your copy, or judging from the New York Times bestseller list, perhaps your second copy of Where the Crawdads Sing, and also a festive, lively book cover with all of the Harry Potter characters featured on the front of it for your 5-year-old daughter or son. When thinking about Santa Monica, first-rate literature isn't necessarily the first thing that springs to mind, but if you find yourself in the area, Book Monster is where you should be purchasing all your summer reads, your winter reads, and all of the other seasons and their associated images as well. Get yourself to Book Monster if you're on the West Side. At number 9, let's take a scenic drive and head far from Santa Monica all the way down to San Diego, stopping in at Verbatim Books. First thing to mention here is they've got a wonderful kind of reader loyalty membership program. And if I were somebody who resided in the city to the south, I would absolutely be a card-carrying member of Verbatim's loyalty program. This is in a pretty fun section of town. Lots of exciting restaurants in the immediate blocks surrounding the store. Very, very lively experience traveling to Verbatim Books. So my lovely and talented producer slash fiance and I have a little tradition that we've established in the years that we've been together. When adventuring in a location that we don't get to all that often, we will take it upon ourselves to find a local independent bookstore, and I will go in, give her some suggestions, and we will walk out with a copy of something outstanding. So the last time that we found ourselves in San Diego, Verbatim was the place where we stopped, and she and I walked out with a copy of The House of Sand and Fog, an uplifting novel. I'm kidding, it's not an uplifting novel. It's a bit of a tough read, but very, very memorable. In any case, we both sauntered out of Verbatim and remarked upon how lovely that little independent bookstore happened to be. And so now we are sharing our good fortune with you, our tremendous and dearest of listeners. So if you find yourself in the kind of North Park-y portion of San Diego, and you'd like to grab a copy of anything and everything Verbatim Books has you covered. At number 8, let's head back to the City of Angels, go over to the east side, to Echo Park specifically, and pull up a chair at Stories Books Cafe. Okay, full disclosure here. When I wrote this particular bookstore down, getting ready for the show, I started kind of chuckling to myself because I remembered that my instant reaction upon setting foot inside the establishment was, oh wow, this reminds me way too much of the two kind of snooty, self-involved owners of the independent bookstore on the show Portlandia. And I pictured Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein in all their glory and told myself, wow, this is that sketch in real life. Except the selection is a bit better. It is a cute cafe. Happy to report that my lovely and talented producer slash fiance and I were able to browse the various sections in the store looking for, I'm pretty sure that was the time when we were looking for Jonathan Gold, dearly departed former Los Angeles Times food critic, one of his books. This is a very specific type of experience. When contemplating Echo Park, you might stumble over the word gentrified, if we're talking in the modern parlance of that word. And this is a real example of that. It's a bookstore that has absolutely only been around for X amount of years. Not many. Everybody's going to be drinking coffee. You might see some berets. You probably aren't going to encounter a great many smiles on your visit. So, why is it on the list? Because it's an experience. And that is what we are all about here at Living in the Sprawl. I didn't think that this kind of establishment existed until I did. You can go ironically if you so choose, or you can go in earnest and be able to locate Naked Lunch by William S. Burroughs, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas by Hunter S. Thompson, or likely any of the books that you're in dire need of reading at that exact moment. I thought about putting this 10, but thought it would be more interesting and slightly odd if I put it 8th. It's an experience. Saddle up. Stories Books in Echo Park at number 8. At number 7, Book Soup in West Hollywood. Now, this is on the Sunset Strip, directly next door to the infamous Viper Room. Started in the mid-1970s by a pair of what I would charitably call literary enthusiasts who were not, shall we say, in the same tax bracket as the Carnegies. The place was nothing that you would confuse with a gold mine, but Book Soup brought in enough business to sustain its existence. And its unique selection of newspapers from all over the country and kind of off-kilter array of book towers that seemed like they were perpetually going to fall over inside the store. It was the right vibe for the right time with the ideal crowd. And sometimes that's what you need in order to succeed as a retail outlet. Live readings have been a big deal at Book Soup for the last several decades, and they've even, in a pre-TMZ world, thrown their hat in, recognized their surroundings, and done a couple of wild publicity stunts involving taking out advertisements in the Los Angeles Times, promoting that they were the only place in town where you could buy American Psycho by Bret Easton Ellis when it came out, tie-ins with the likes of Salman Rushdie, Paris Hilton, all kinds of people, and they were able to gain a rabid following as the Sunset Strip was one of the country's entertainment hotbeds, particularly in the 1980s. When they were thriving, there was Tower Records across the street, a House of Blues down the block. Things looked a little bit different, but because of its notoriety and unique business approach, Book Soup has wound up outliving both of those places. I know that this was a favorite of one of my favorites, Mr. Charles Bukowski, and another one of my favorites, Hunter S. Thompson. It can be seen in the Rashida Jones, Andy Samberg rom-com Celeste and Jesse Forever from, I think that was like 2012 when that came out. And against all odds and all expectations, Book Soup is still very much alive and very much a place where you'll feel like the towers of books are going to fall over and knock you over. But a wonderful place and a great setting for that kind of minor anxiety. It's a lot of fun. It's West Hollywood. It's the Sunset Strip. Charles Bukowski was a regular at Book Soup. At number 6, the oldest independent bookstore in Southern California. That's right. I am, of course, talking about Vroman's in Living in the Sprawl producer Lisa Lowe's favorite city in the world. We're not sure, but certainly within the Sprawl, and that is Pasadena. Vroman's in Pasadena has been around since, I couldn't believe this. I knew it was the oldest, and yet when I saw the exact date in print, I was as astounded as can be. 1894. So think about the kinds of things that the founding of Vroman's predates, the automobile being one of them. It was an entirely different world at that point in time. The store is very much thriving today, now part of a vibrant, enticing version of Pasadena, brimming with exciting restaurants, stores, and a great iPic movie theater. Vroman's, like a fine wine, has managed to age masterfully. In addition to the latest from your Stephen King's, your Aaron Moriarty's, and Malcolm Gladwell's, they've got kind of old school printings of books like my favorite, On the Road by Jack Kerouac, books of poetry by Allen Ginsberg that you probably won't find in other outlets. And when you really stand back and consider what the advent of Amazon has done to the book buying business, and you reconcile that fact with the notion of a business selling books that still exists and began its reign in the year of our Lord, 1894, it should make you smile. And that's what it did for your humble correspondent and host, as well as his lovely producer/fiancée. We're big fans of Vroman's here at Living in the Sprawl, and believe that you, dear listeners, will become ones as well. Number 5, let's take a trip down to Long Beach and check out one of the more exciting outlets for independent books inside of the Sprawl. And it's got arguably the best name of any place that can be found on this list. It's Page Against the Machine, and they specialize in, let's call them what they are, kind of radical books, activist-y books. Your Soul on Ice by Eldridge Cleaver, The Satanic Verses by Salman Rushdie, and the whole ethos of the place is clearly steeped in that greatest of literary traditions, going against the grain. Full disclosure, my favorite band of all time is Rage Against the Machine, so simply saying Page Against the Machine makes me beam for a couple of moments. This is also on the same street as one of the better bakeries in town, Gusto Bread, which I know was on the LA Times 101 list recently. So while you're waiting for a loaf of sourdough, we suggest checking into Page Against the Machine. Now, unlike Vroman's or Book Soup, this is pretty clearly a newer establishment, and they could really use anyone and everyone's business. It's a smaller store. It's not anything like, I don't know, a Barnes & Noble, for example. But a lot of times, these are the types of businesses that we should be supporting. I've heard for years now people predicting that ultimately independent bookstores won't be around, like period. Forget about Barnes & Noble, like all independent bookstores, they'll be excised from the planet in lieu of just Amazon stores and people ordering books from Amazon. We can still prevent that, but it's only with the patronage of places like Page Against the Machine that we can do that. So if you're in this part of the sprawl, stop in and get yourself some radical literature at Page Against the Machine. Number four, trip to the South Bay in Los Angeles, Redondo Beach specifically. Let's take a gander at what they've got going on at Dave's Old Bookstore. So I saw this movie X amount of months ago called Reach Me with Sylvester Stallone from the guy who wrote 2 Days in the Valley. And the whole thing kind of centers around this book that comes out, which alters the lives of all the characters that we see on screen. And I took note of the bookstore that characters kept frequenting. Went on to the old, oh, you don't need to see behind the camera for that. Found out where those scenes had been shot. Oh, Dave's Old Bookstore in Redondo Beach. Let's go check it out. And when we went, dear listener, we were greeted with not only a smattering of some of the finest copies of great works of literature that we should ever encounter, but also, and more importantly, some very fun screen prints and posters displaying iconic works of literature, their covers, iconography associated with them. We had a great time looking through the selection at Dave's Old Books and ambled out of the store clutching a screen print for our own domicile from that aforementioned Beat Generation classic, On the Road. Sometimes the greatest things are found in the most unlikely of places. We're going to keep that edit in. And this is the case with Dave's Old Books. I wouldn't peg the South Bay as being a haven for great literature. And yet, Dave's Old Books mounts a charge in that direction. Whether you are on a Joan Didion kick, find yourself enamored with the collected works of Patricia Highsmith, or simply want to spend a couple hours on the beach with Danielle Steele, they have all of the bases accounted for at Dave's Old Books in Redondo Beach. Now, the movie that I saw this in, Reach Me, you don't need to watch it. Just take my word for it. It exists. It's out there. It happened, and thank goodness it did, because it led us here at Living in the Sprawl to uncover that most sacred gem, an outstanding independent bookstore in Redondo Beach. At number three, the last bookstore in downtown Los Angeles, I was fully expecting this to have been a business with roots stretching back at least a couple of decades. But I was surprised to find out this is actually a business that began in the year of our Lord, 2005. I would have thought it was significantly sooner than that. But the last bookstore is actually housed in an old bank building, and it's often featured in movies from the 90s in particular as kind of a stand-in for a nondescript high-rise. Like it's in The Wedding Singer, the scene when Adam Sandler goes in to interview for a job at a bank. I remember that it's in the show Alias for the first couple seasons. It's where the Bradley Cooper character works. And it's also featured this time as the last bookstore in David Fincher's Gone Girl with Rosamund Pike and Ben Affleck. One of my favorite places in the city. I used to live in downtown, and every time that I'd stride by the last bookstore, I would definitely take notice and remark upon just how cool it was that I had the good fortune of living within walking distance of the place that I cared about so much. This can be an overwhelming experience if you don't have a game plan. So rather than think to yourself, oh, I'll just kind of wander in and browse and come out with something, you'll just spend too much time there, truthfully. The parking can be a little costly in downtown if you're not paying attention. So I would urge, get a game plan together, maybe even write it down, and walk in ready to search for something specific. There are multiple stories at the last bookstore, and an incomprehensible amount of great books in all categories that will undoubtedly garner your attention. If you can't find something charming about the last bookstore, and you can't get past how difficult it was to get parking or whatever misgivings you might have about that particular part of town, my favorite part of town, if you listen to episode 1 of the podcast. But if you can manage to kind of get past those and envelop yourself in the moment and the experience, again, we veer back to that most primitive of concepts, the experience, the life experience. But if you can really get into the moment, the last bookstore is probably pound for pound the most fun time that you'll have at an independent bookstore in Southern California. But again, go in with a battle plan so that you aren't spending 4 hours looking through all the novels by Kurt Vonnegut and Virginia Woolf. We love the last bookstore here at The Sprawl. You will too. Number 2, the penultimate. Skylight Books in Los Feliz, however you pronounce it. It's on Vermont, and it is a phenomenal little independent bookstore. Now, this being Los Angeles, where the business is located, and Los Feliz in particular, when you see the section with autographed copies of books, you can safely assume that they were probably signed inside the store at some point. So the first time that I found myself inside of Skylight, there was a copy of a book written by Charlie Kaufman. Charlie Kaufman, you know, the great screenwriter, Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, Being John Malkovich, adaptation, etc. And I was like, oh, okay, Charlie Kaufman was here. And it's like that with all of the signed books. And they have a great selection of those here. There's also some really terrific ambiance at Skylight. It's not stuffy. See, sometimes I think maybe that's what turns people off to independent books, provided that they're readers, that these places, it feels so stuffy and snooty. Well, they can't all be stories books, alas. Sometimes, even though their actual footprint might be small, they can pack quite a lot in without having it feel overbearing and crammed. And that's the case here. It does feel kind of light and airy. This is actually the place where we found the Jonathan Gold book before he was even employed at the Times. It was an older one that had all these reviews of restaurants that no longer exist. It's a pretty fun read if you can find it. Phenomenal selection of California-related books, travel literature. I found it heartwarming walking around Skylight and knowing that, indeed, there is still a market for businesses like this. You might find, I don't know, a copy of a Tarantino script that's signed by John Travolta. You might find that here, for real, and know that he himself signed it right there. Or you can visit the store living squarely within the belief that you're doing your part, that you're helping. The term mom and pop business, I think it's overused. Independent, is more fitting. So to keep these types of businesses going, please support independent bookstores wherever you do find them. And if you are in the eastern portion of Los Angeles, this is your best bet for a great literary experience. We adore Skylight Books in Los Feliz. At number one, it was mentioned on a prior episode, but I didn't delve all that deeply into it. So I felt good about placing it here atop our list. It's Bart's Books. It's in Ojai. It's in the movie Easy A. And it is delightful. An outdoor bookstore. I'd never heard of such a thing. Couldn't imagine it, to be honest. What do they do when it rains? No bother. Bart's Books was established in 1964 and has obtained recognition nationally and internationally for both the fact that it's outdoors and also that there's something of an honor system at Bart's. I'll explain. If you find yourself at the bookstore and it's closed, you can still make a purchase. Just place the amount that's quoted on the front of the book into the container out front and you're good. Actually, there have been reports, even a documentary commissioned to see if this whole concept actually worked, where people would buy books on the honor system, and seems like it did. Ojai is an upstanding place, and the act of reading and this kind of theft don't necessarily go hand in hand. This is not a business that could exist in Los Angeles, probably not even San Diego, to be honest with you, but in an idyllic location that draws comparison to like parts of the French countryside, the Spanish countryside, the honor system is A-okay. This was the place where I was able to introduce the one, the only, the amazing Lisa Lowe to John Irving. I bought her The World According to Garp, one of my favorite all-time novels. And I am pleased to report that she admired the work of Mr. Irving also. If you're in Ojai to kind of get away from everything, this is a stop that merits your attention. I mean, the ambiance here is the fact that it's outdoors. And inherently, it kind of makes you feel like you're in Hawaii or something. Not that you're an hour away from bumper-to-bumper traffic. It's a really, really special place. And I'm so glad that we were able to find it. And hopefully, when you go to Bart's for yourself, it will find a special place in your heart also. And that's going to do it for another episode of Living in the Sprawl. Want to go ahead and remind people of a couple of things. We have merchandise. That's right, we do. We have terrific mugs, magnets. We've got all kind of stuff. Check it out on the website. As mentioned before, we here at the Sprawl team drink from our mugs every single night. Not alcohol, don't worry. It is just tea to kind of mellow us out a little bit. We invite any and all feedback. Please go ahead and write us. The email address, livinginthesprawlpodcast@gmail.com. Always interested in suggestions for forthcoming episodes, topics that you would like to hear covered on the program, suggestions, opinions, any and all commentary is sincerely welcome. Instagram, Living in the Sprawl Podcast. Also, want to draw your attention back to that fabulous website, Living in the Sprawl Podcast, and tell you about a nifty handbook that the producer of this show has assembled for you, our dear beloved listeners. It's a collection of everything that we've talked about here on the program. So all the recommendations, all of the establishments, films, documentaries. We've talked about a lot here over the course of time on this podcast, and you can find a guide to it if you don't want to go back to old episodes and comb through looking for recommendations. It's all right there, easily approachable, and yours to aid in your navigation of this wonderful area of the country, part of the world that we call the sprawl. Check out the guide. It's on the website. The producer of this podcast did a stellar job of assembling it, and we think it's going to help everyone out there quite a bit. Again, though, thank you to you, our dear, most precious listeners. My name is John Steinberg, your humble correspondent and host, as always. And the show is produced by my lovely and talented producer slash fiance. Her name is Lisa Lowe. So, from all of us here, thanks again for listening to another episode of Living in the Sprawl, Southern California's most adventurous podcast. See you next time.